Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you're ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I went from building a chimney cleaning business with my husband to ranking in the top 1% as a leader in network marketing to my true calling as a visionary strategist and coach. I'm passionate about helping others navigate the sea of business and life. If you're ready to leave the daily grind behind and discover the joy of entrepreneurship, let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and we are pretty much right in the middle of our Clifton Strengths 34 series, where we are taking each of the 34 themes and talking to a real life human with one of those themes in their top five and how they, how that theme plays out in their life, how they've turned it into their strengths, and how it helps them be successful in life. And I want to welcome back my friend, Jose, another fellow podcaster. We actually just spent like the last 10 minutes talking about all the things podcasting, but I'm excited to have him back on the show because he is also a huge strengths geek like me. And so welcome back to the podcast, Jose.
Thank you so much for having me again. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. And if you haven't checked it out yet, today we're going to be talking about Jose's ideation, but we did do the individualization, which was podcast episode 84 of the 100 days of podcasting. So that's season two, podcast 84 of the 100 days. And we talked about the individualization and how that showed up and helped him in his coaching and his job at the university. And I'm excited to dive into the ideation today, but share with us a little bit about what you do for those who haven't listened to the other episode yet, and a little bit about you, Jose, and also your top five strengths.
Yeah. So first off, congratulations on taking the challenge of 100 days of podcasting, because we know those of you are podcasters that listen to Sherry's show. Podcasting is an amazing journey and is amazing, rewarding work, but it's hard to put it all together and invest the time and energy. So congratulations on almost getting to the finish line. I'm so excited for you. My top five. So I am input, individualization, learner, ideation, and achiever. And my work, my full-time gig, because we all have a side hustle, my full-time job right now is Director of Career Services for SUNY Polytechnic Institute, which is located in Utica, New York. And obviously we're all working from home, so this is how we're working. But you know, in my job, in my role, I oversee all of career services for about 3,000 students. And my job is to educate them and help prepare them for the work from college to career. So all the things that come with coaching someone and understanding what the trajectory is that they wanna take and identifying their career as it relates to whether it's their major or their values, interests, et cetera. As far as the top five, for me as a coach and as a entrepreneur myself, you know, I have the StrengthsFinder certification from Gallup to help people on this journey and understanding and uncovering the strengths. And I know you yourself are working on that as well. So that's also amazing, exciting, but really helping people understand what their strengths mean to them, but also how they can use them in their career, how they can use them in their life, and how they can use them for the future for good with their relationships and all the things. When we talk about learner, I mean, when we talk about ideation, it's focused on hearing ideas, but also being the person in the conversation that comes up with the ideas. And I know you have a definition that you want to share, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, so I'll share the official Gallup definition of it, and then we'll get into how it has showed up in your life. So an ideation is a strategic thinking domain, from the strategic thinking domain, But people with strong ideation talents are creative and appreciate originality. They relish free thinking experiences such as brainstorming and discussion groups. They have a natural capacity to consider issues from multiple perspectives. They revel in taking the world we all know and turning it around so people can view it from a strangely enlightening angle. I love that. They think outside the box. They are fascinated by new ideas and concepts which come to them easily. They love ideas because they can be profound, novel, clarifying, contrary, and bizarre. For all of these reasons, they derive a jolt of energy whenever a new idea occurs to them. So speak to us on that. How does that resonate with you? And like, what parts really jump out? Like, oh, that is so me.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. I think I mentioned this in the last episode that we did when we were talking about individualization. But the fact that I have these five themes, they all work so well together. They're so like, you know how it's the glue, and like this glue is really sticky. And when I think about ideation, I get really excited about being asked to serve on either a search committee or a planning committee, or even being that person that is the leader of a team to come up with the ideas and say, hey, what do you think about this? And I always come up with the craziest ideas. My team at work is like, oh, here he goes again. And they always look at me like I have five heads, because sometimes they're just not feasible ideas, but they're ideas that are like, if we had 10 more people, we can make that work. So it's quirky. It's the thing that like someone will always tell me something, and it may be unsolicited advice. Maybe the question they throw at me is just for me to respond, but I always have to respond with potential, like, well, what if you do this? And it's coming up with another crazy idea. It's also where I'm the person that my, you know, my group, my circle of friends, and even my clients come and say, hey, can I ask you a question? I have something that I want to bounce off your mind and see your reaction. I'm totally that person for my friend group and my clients and my family. It's very organic. There's nothing that, there's no work involved in it. And I think it's also where a lot of my creativity comes to play, is that I love to outline and map design. That for me is my favorite thing. It plays a role in like when I used to design and do weddings and events. It plays a role when I help people design and map out their resume. It plays a role when I help people design their career and where they want to go in their journey. And bringing all the ideas and putting it on paper and maybe creating a vision board of sorts, it meshes so well.
I love that you keep using the word that design with the ideation, because like I have strategic thinking, just, you know, my mind is, I'm very heavy on strategic thinking overall. So I kind of do the same thing, but it's a different process. It's very interesting. Like I say, you know, people come to me and they're talking about something. I totally get that. Like all of a sudden my brain starts engaging in the like, well, have you tried this or have you thought? And like you said, sometimes they're not looking for our advice.
Yeah.
But, or I'll leave even a restaurant or another place of business and like, don't they know they should be doing blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Yes.
You know, even like, especially during COVID with so many restaurants, some of our favorite places totally shut down. And that just has drove me crazy because I want to call them up. I want to call up the owner and the managers. Like, let me help you. I have ideas for you. You don't have to shut down.
And yeah,
it just comes, like you said, it's just so easy to do that. Actually, it's hard to turn the brain off, actually.
Yeah. And I think even for me, when I think about where my input, which is my number one, always and it's always collecting the things, right? That's what the input does. But I think that when you collect the things, and then you're learning the things and you apply the ideation to it, that becomes a little bit of a you know, I like to say a clusterfuck, if I can say that. It's a little bit of an organized chaos and madness that happens in my brain of mine. But with the achiever is how I'm able to strategize, prioritize and make informed decisions to ultimately bring those things to life when it comes to how to really map that out and making sure that it's aligned and keeping a clear focus.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a place in your home or in your office when you were working in an office? Like, I feel like you need a chalkboard that you can just write on the whole wall, a chalk wall or a wipe off wall, you know? Do you have?
Yeah. So in my office, yes, I do. And it's so funny. When I would do brainstormings with my team, I have a classroom in my office, which I use for teaching. And we would take over the whole entire whiteboard. It's probably like, I don't know, 40 feet long. It's a pretty decent size. And I would take over the whole whiteboard and I'd have every single color marker, like the whiteboard markers, and everything was categorized and color coded. And it was just, and I would take pictures of it. I was like, okay, you better take a picture of this and you better start making your notes. So it's like, as long as I have the people there that will understand the way my crazy head works, we can actually get the things done. And in my office, I have probably a whiteboard that it's a pretty decent size. It takes up like about not half of my wall, but maybe a quarter of my wall. And it's got like the to-dos for future. So like what it looks like for 2 years, 3 years, and then the immediate like academic year goals and what are we accomplishing? And we don't ever check anything off the box until way after it's been done and we've seen the assessment of it, the inventory, and we're able to assess, okay, was this successful and how do we measure that? And it, to me, it's just like being able, I'm very visual that I have to see it. And I want to see paper. I want to see it someplace where I can register and capture it and be able to go back to it if I need to.
I like that. Yeah, I totally can resonate with that. have you ever had a job that you weren't able to use that ideation, or a time in your life that maybe even before you knew about strengths that you realized like, and how did that feel? Like when you couldn't, or maybe that your mind was coming up with ideas, but wherever you were working, they didn't want to receive them.
Yeah. So two times. One was prior to having StrengthsQuest at all. Actually, I was working on getting my associate's degree in my early 20s. And I was working a full-time job and just, it was a job that was paying the bills. There was never the idea that this would become my career, and it was in manufacturing. And so I was a customer service slash data processor slash assistant, right? And I worked for, and it was a male dominated workplace, but there was, I didn't like feel like I was part of their little group. And so like I sat with the other ladies who, I say other ladies, but I sat with the ladies who were in the office that really were there as, you know, we had our own little clique, so to speak, because I felt like I spoke their language, we connected and we all worked in the same place. And they're like, you should go tell that to Divine. I was called Divine Brothers, and Divine was the son of the owner. And I'm like, I don't think he'd be receptive to that. And it was things that were going to create efficiency, create a process and a workflow. It would support the manufacturing. It would support the operation. It would support like everything, right? Because I was having conversations with distributors. I was having negotiation conversations with purchasing. I was doing so many functional things to help this business run and flow. And it wasn't my job and they didn't care. And, you know, when I left there, it was really interesting because it was right after I had just finished my associate's degree and I was trying to figure out what next. And I decided to pursue teaching because I knew that was just the job to pay the bills, right? So it was really interesting where like you have a voice, but no one wants to hear you. And you know that, and at the time I didn't realize about this myself. I didn't value myself in the same way. You knew you had something to share, but because you were pushed down, you weren't valued. So that was one thing prior to Strengths. And then after already being college educated, having Strengths under my belt for, I got it 2011. That was in probably 2016. So this is not that long ago, 2016, 2017. I worked for someone who kind of like a tyrant. This person was really, really challenging and we butted heads a lot. And a lot of it came down to that I was asked to do the strategic plan for what talent management would look like for the institution, university. How do we do this? And I created this prior to this person coming aboard, and then they became my supervisor. And they took that, they owned it, took credit for it, and pretended that I never did it. And then 6 months later, I'm going through this whole transition of working with my departments and implementing the plan and training, you know, department leaders who are hiring, well, working with HR for hiring on what this process is. And my supervisor then just comes out of nowhere and acts like if what I'm doing is wrong and it's not the plan and it's not what we talked about. I'm like, you know, I designed it, right? Like, I don't know where in your head you think this just is. So it's so different, two different worlds. I think I had my voice then, right, to really realize what my value was and know what I was capable of. And I, having owned my strengths and seeing them through and being able to use that to for the good, but also to create things that were fundamental, just helped so much more. And even comparing the two different times and scenarios, I think we're always going to be in those spaces, no matter where you are in life, where we are able to find what is my top strength right now that's working for me and how can I use that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what you just shared, both scenarios, is why there's so much value in finding and why we're both so passionate about knowing people, their strengths, and then not just knowing them, but then dive into them. Don't just like learn them and then put it aside, but to really empower yourself with that knowledge and how they can help you in life. Because what I see happening so many times, and I've seen this with friends and coworkers, you know, and even myself experience it too, that we just accept that this job sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And some people stay at that same job for 20, 30 years, and they just think that this is just the way it is. But it's just, you're misaligned. You're not in the right job, or you're not being valued, and you're not letting your strengths are not being allowed to be used to shine. And that's why there's discontent. It doesn't have to be that way. And sometimes it's simply a conversation, you know, with other people, the supervisors or whatever, that can help align you in the right place. Sometimes it is, it's, you know, we need to look at a whole different situation. But I think just so many people just accept that, oh, well, we don't need to pay, you know, we don't need to love our job. We don't need to feel valued. We don't need to feel all this way. It's just the way it is. And it doesn't have to be that way. Like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the part of that is also, we're human, right? And we become creatures of habit. I know that's something that people oftentimes cringe when they hear, at least I do. And I think it's just easier because it's a mindset that we're in a fixed mindset of telling ourselves that this is okay and this is the way it's supposed to be, as opposed to opening up to what you can do for yourself to shift to be where you are and valuing yourself for what you have and the purpose you can actually fill.
Mm-hmm.
With the journey of uncovering your strengths, it's only going to help you become the better version of yourself that you didn't realize you could be. And it's going to arm you with so much opportunity to then be able to own your voice, right? If that's what you're struggling with, but also to decide where do you want to go in the journey after you've been able to uncover them. Because I know so many people who have just taken the Strengths Finder and then don't ever process it with anybody, don't ever sit with the coach. And they live through the basic definition that Gallup gives you. It's a one-page document that tells you, here's what your strength is and here's what some actions. But when you take the time and then you invest in yourself to fully understand what it really means and kind of level it up to really connect, it just fundamentally is a game changer. It's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I know I'm totally was one of those people because I took that test. I took the assessment the first time in 2016. Read it, just did the top five. So I read the description. Oh, that's interesting. Oh yeah, that definitely sounds like me. Yep, that's totally me. They nailed it, that's me. And then did nothing with that information until about 2.5-3 years ago that I was reintroduced to the strengths, and then attended a workshop a couple of years ago, you know, worked with a coach and stuff, and really dove deep into it, that it's like, oh, this is so me, and I need to align my life so that it can be more of me shining and do that. And that's where it's been a game changer. Yeah, definitely. So back to ideation. That was a good.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. And that's why, you know, anybody listening, you can say, Jose and I definitely geek out on strengths. So.
We sure do.
So with the ideation, you know, we've been also on this series talking about the blind spots, the barriers, and they can show up when we're not in a healthy spot ourselves, or maybe like going back, like you said, that maybe we don't feel confident enough with our own voice in that talent, or sometimes it's how others perceive us, or it can just show up sometimes. But the blind spots for the ideation is they can get lost in the world of ideas. And they can also be impractical or not relevant, or their ideas can be impractical or not relevant, I should say. Where do you see that happening sometimes, or that others perceive that? And then how do you work through that?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. I can go back to the example of the first scenario that I described working for the manufacturing company, because I think that in a space where ideation is all about you being able to share, but also having the ideas that you come up with, not just from you vocalizing what you heard from someone else, but you also being that ideation, that person that is creative enough to come up with the ideas, you have to know yourself really well. And that's a mindset thing, and have that confidence, and also value yourself to know that if it's not for someone, let it go. Don't let it play into you. Don't take that with you and just walk away from it and say, you know what? It's okay. You don't have to feel like you have to apologize to me. I value for just listening to what I had to say, and thank you for your time, and just move forward from it. It's probably one that I've never paid attention to in my own journey of why there would be a barrier for it. And I think that's because I have so many other dominating ones that the ideation just is always present, and it's never been a barrier. But when I think about what it really represents, I could see how it could become a barrier. I mean, that scenario was a perfect example of like, I didn't know, I didn't value myself. I didn't have the voice. I didn't have the mindset that I live with today. And even if someone does have a growth mindset, we're human, right? We feel, we have emotions, but you have to trust yourself, and you have to have that trust within yourself to believe that if it's not for someone, you walk away. Mm-hmm. And you're okay with that, because maybe it is for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it goes back to hopefully being able to put yourself in an environment that people are open to your ideas, that mm-hmm. you with ideas, knowing that not all ideas are going to be good.
Right.
You brainstorm, right? That's what we do.
Right.
Board or a wipe off so you can erase them.
Yep.
But some of them are going to be amazing.
Yeah. And I think to that point, the other part that you mentioned that just kind of came to me when you were saying that is even being able to be open to know that it could just be a crazy idea that doesn't work, right? Yeah. That alone, and recognizing, oh, wow, I never thought of it from that way. You're getting that feedback, accepting that constructive feedback for what it is.
Yeah, which actually kind of leads me to the next topic or question is, who do you surround yourself with now that helps you either discern that, oh, that's just way too crazy of an idea that's never going to work, or that does help you take that idea and now let's implement it. And I know with you having Achiever, you've already kind of got a little bit of a leg up there with the ideation, because Achiever will help push you inside yourself. But who do you surround yourself with?
Yeah, that is an amazing question. Thank you for asking it. I would say if I had to look at my team of people who I connect with frequently, it's maximizers, it's woo, it's empathy, connectedness, and even others who I vibe with that potentially have strong individualization or strong, commander. They're people who I think, in their good nature, want to get things done. And I think that when I think about the achievers, so much of what I've spent my last 3 years of work and my professional work doing is to just get it done, right? Like assessing what it looks like, which is part of where the input, the ideation, and the learner come from, because they want to get it done and see how it lives. But those other characteristics from people have really helped keep me grounded in the work that I do. And now, being a coach as my practice outside of my professional world, my side hustle, so to speak, it's surrounding by people who are have similar like yourself, right? You've got the futuristic, you've got maximizer, you have command, you have strategic. So it's really looking at the people who I think value the work we do and can appreciate the conversations to either create something together or partner and collaborate. Like, to me, that's so important. So much of my strengths live in that relationship builder domain. And then you add this achiever, I want to visualize that with you. And what can we create? How can we partner? So I love that. That's really what it comes like for me. That's where I'm right now.
I love that. Surrounding yourself with the right people that, you play off each other, you help each other where one's strong, one's weak, but then sometimes it's like you're very similar and that you can, take those ideas and boost them up a little bit more or get a little more strategy, whatever it is. So definitely
Yeah.
collaborating with people is so important. Even more, I think more so today than ever. Because we kind of get disconnected. It's easy to get disconnected. We got to get back connected with the right people.
Yeah, and it's such a fundamental part of like the world that we've shifted in, even if we think about what COVID has done to how we connect with people. A year ago, Zoom would have never been in our vocabulary. That's all we say, let's jump on a Zoom, and that's what we do, right? And just how we connect with each other and how we embrace this new world we're living in that's not going away, right? People want a sense of normalcy, but if you're able to realize what your strengths and potential are, even if you're stuck in this moment, you can truly bring things to life and make them work. And I think that when you can, find how you can build that strategic parts of those and add relationships to it and build connections, makes it so much more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we kind of close things down on this episode, I've been kind of leaving everybody with a few things to continue to invest in that talent or theme. So a couple ideas to continue to invest in the ideation talents. I know you've been studying this a lot, so you're probably already doing a lot of these, Jose, but for anybody listening that might have it, a couple ideas, or they might be reminders for you. One, we've kind of been talking about this. Find a job that pays you for your ideas, such as marketing, advertising, journalism, design, or new product development. Experiment and play mental games with yourself to keep your mind active. Your mind is your best part, your brain, so keep it active. Participate, we just kind of shared about this, participate in brainstorming sessions. With your abundance of ideas, you will make these sessions more exciting and productive. Just on that one, I'm sure people, when there is some things that need to be brainstormed about, they probably want you in the room.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts about what I've had a pleasure of doing in the last 3 years of my work. I work with in such a small college that we all have to collaborate and partner with each other. It's just required. It's part of the job. And I always get tagged, whether it's a silent partner or a second collaborator, or the person that oversees it, that just says, okay, you can make people work really well together in a team. Can you lead this? And I get asked also outside of my organization, that I'm president-elect of an organization right now, where I'm bringing all the ideas of what we do that's more innovative and creative, and how we can be more strategic in our approach to create diversity and inclusion, which is another area of mine of interest and passion. So it happens frequently. And then you mentioned the marketing, which I love marketing and advertising. That's where my visual brain goes. And I think about the clients and I think about what the end result's supposed to be. And that's where all the questions come in and what the flow looks like. It's a crazy thing to be in someone's head that thinks that way, but it's so much fun to bring things to life.
Yeah, totally. Couple last things. Partner, we've been talking about a lot about the partnership, but partner with someone with strong activator talents to help you put your ideas into practice. Partner with someone with strong analytic talents who will question and challenge you and therefore strengthening your ideas. And then select a mentor who has the courage to support you in your ideas and will challenge you to explore them even further. So I love that. And I think, you know, as I'm reading that, I feel like there's so many people that their ego gets in the way. And they don't want to be challenged. They don't want to be questioned. But in order for us to become our absolute best selves, we need people in our lives who are bold enough and who we allow in to question us.
For sure.
Out of the ideas. And that's just going to make you better. So I love that two of them were really about allowing that to happen in your life. And I think that I don't care what theme you are or what strength you have, like that's such a powerful thing to allow that and just let your ego out of the way.
Yeah. I think about my job now, my assistant, who I'm so blessed to have her. I would not be able to do what I do if it wasn't for her. And it was really interesting because she was assigned to work with me temporarily. And our relationship flourished. We were able to vibe really well together and really get things done. And she has that heavy analytical side, which I love. So I'm able to say, hey, here's a report that we need to dive into. Can you make this pretty? And she will pull out all the data extractions that I need. She will give me pivot tables. She'll give me all the stuff that it's not that's not my strength. It's just that it takes too much energy for me to do, right? And it's amazing to always have someone who can challenge you. Even if the person reports to you, I love that about her. She refuses to take strength quests, may I add. But I know her strengths and I respect her values and I respect her for who she is. And everything she does for me, I would not be the success that I am today in my job if it wasn't for her. So I truly value her. But now the opposite of that is I work for people who don't want to acknowledge how to be challenged. And when you try to challenge them, they silence you. And that's one of the worst things you could ever be involved in. Or situations you can be in.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, usually it comes down to their ego, you know?
Oh, so strong. Yeah. So yeah. You're saying that I'm nodding my head really hard back and forth. No one can see it, but you can hear me like, that's so true.
Yeah. I love people to question things and because it does, it makes you stronger. And yeah, sometimes it hurts if people don't.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing, like I've pointed it out several times. Like, look, I was hired for a job, not to sit here and hold back from having these hard conversations. We're a community and we're intended to do the best that we can and be the best that we can be. If you don't want people on your team that do that and that have that mindset, it's probably for the best that they part ways.
Right, definitely. Anything else that you want to say about the ideation or strengths in general as we close out the podcast here?
I think more in general to the strengths, I think that, well, I don't think I truly believe, I should say, with my deepest core, if you're someone who is ultimately in a period of change or transition, and you're trying to define what your next step is, but you're not sure of how to do that, invest in yourself to really align with what your strengths are, because what you may think your strengths are may not be the same way that Gallup defines them to me based on the definitions and conversations of the language that you can learn. It's an opportunity for you to pivot and uncover something really powerful that can impact you in a meaningful way. And then not just in your career that you're transitioning to, maybe like similar to what Sherry does with her clients, you're transitioning from the workforce into your life of retirement. And what would it be such a blessing and a beautiful thing for you to be able to uncover a part of yourself that you've never explored, and how meaningful it could be for you to be able to continue to live your life in that journey of knowing what you should and could do.
Yeah, beautifully said. Yeah, I think this, it just serves such a great purpose no matter where you're at in life. Like starting, I feel like in high school, beyond, we need to know these things.
It goes back to the creativeness, right, that comes with ideation. I have a couple of creative ideas I'm trying to bounce around in creating a course that can be used for high school students transitioning to college to help them be strong. Well, not just help them be stronger, but to be able to help them understand when they make decisions from that stage and phase of their life into the next journey.
Yeah. Find the right fit. Mm-hmm. As always, love the conversation. And I know we could continue this forever.
Forever. The podcast that never ends.
So thank you again for being on the show today, Jose. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Sherry. It's always fun.
Hey friends, thanks as always for listening to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs podcast. I really do appreciate your time and for you being here. And a few quick things before you do go. Number one, if you haven't yet, can you leave a review if you find these shows valuable? Reviews really do matter to iTunes and to others so that they know this episode or this podcast is worth taking the time to listen to out of the millions of podcasts out there. And you never know, I might just read your review on a future episode. Number two, make sure to hit that subscribe button so that you can be one of the first to know when a new episode downloads. And three, if you've been enjoying this series on the Clifton Strengths 34, this is a huge one. Can you take a screenshot? Post that picture on your Instagram or Facebook account. Make sure you tag me in it and let me know why you loved that episode and what you're enjoying about the series. And of course, if you've done the Clifton Strengths assessment, make sure to include your top five. And number four, and the last thing, if you take your assessment and you feel a little stuck and you're like, I don't even know what to do with this information right now, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm available on email and of course the DMs and Facebook and Instagram. And I would love to talk you through how to really tap into your talents so you can turn them into your superpowers and your strengths. Thanks again for listening to the show.